The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have plenty to get to on today's show. Sean Purdy, the father of Brock. I spoke with him yesterday. I was at the Purdy's for the NFC Championship game. I'll talk about that here momentarily and what he had to say. That will be part of today's show. John Wilner, our weekly Mondays with Wilner, things around Pac-12 and college football. And then my little snip with Sally Field and the movie 80 for Brady's. We have some fun today, some entertainment on today's show. We're brought to you, as always, by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. As always, we appreciate their support. I went to the Purdy's. I took in the NFC Championship game, and it was really interesting. We'll start there. The Super Bowl matchup is set with Philadelphia and Kansas City. There's no bad matchup, in my opinion. People today are sitting by my, I don't know if it's going to be a great game or not. Look, any of those four teams wins, there's not a bad matchup. Saw a lot of bad officiating yesterday. It's part of the NFL. It was just weird. I don't know why. Of course, Bengal fans are saying the fix was in. There's just moments in yesterday's game that had me uncomfortable. I think that's the best way to put it. But I'll start with the Purdy's. So I reached out to them, having known them through the last 6 years, and said, hey, what are you guys planning to do on Sunday? Are you going to Philly? They said, no, we're going to be at home. You should come over. And I said, are you sure about that? And they said, sure, we'd like to have you come over. So I went over. So went over to their neighborhood. It's about 3 miles from where I'm sitting right now. And they neighborhood, just a typical area in Southeast Valley. I pull in, and there's a 49er flag out front. There's a 49er flag across the street in somebody's house, 49er flag down the street, somebody's house. It kind of looked like a 49er area. Walk in, and everybody's decked out in their 49er gear. There's food everywhere. And Carrie Purdy, the mother, comes over and gives me a big hug and, you know, wants me to be comfortable. What do you need? Sean Purdy was pacing back and forth as a father would do 15 minutes before kickoff in the biggest game of his son's life. I called him earlier in the day to check in on him. And he said, I was just out mowing the grass. And that is code for I am stressed out. His daughter, Whitney Purdy, Brock's sister, told me this like 5 years ago. She said, Dad's out mowing the grass. That's what he does when he gets stressed. I used to do that too. So yes, I get that. Some of you may have your little, you go somewhere in deep thought, and for him, it's mowing the grass. So I sit outside on their patio, and there's like, I don't know, 30 people that are all mingling about, and the national anthem plays, and some of them start to tear up. They're wiping their eyes. They've known Brock Purdy for a long, long time. Game starts. Eagles get a touchdown. No big deal. Brock's going to come out. He's going to lead the day. And then Hassan Reddick lights him up, and that's the end of the day for Brock Purdy, so to speak. In that moment when he went down, there was a lot of, obviously people were quiet and hushed, and but I saw something yesterday that was really interesting, and this is what that family is wired about, and I think there's a lot of families that are this way, but not all of them. So Brock is on the sideline. He's being taken in. Josh Johnson goes in at quarterback. And I'm standing in the back just watching everybody, and Sean walks over to me. He just stands there, and he's looking straight ahead, and he's like, come on, Josh. Come on, Josh, Brad. Josh has been so great to Brock. He has mentored. He's been so great. He's such a good dude. Come on, Josh. Come on, Josh. A lot of parents, a lot of family, I think would have checked out. I think would have just been like, oh, okay, everybody leave, please. We just need to be by ourselves. Party continues. Christian McCaffrey scores. The dad is the first one high-fiving people, hugging people. The mom is high-fiving people, hugging people. Brock's still not in the game. And I went over and sat with Whitney and just visited with her about this whole experience. Brock's little brother, Chuba, who's a quarterback, he's at Nebraska. He was not there. He's back at school. But to see that family and how they just went about the day of cheering for the 49ers, and obviously as the game progressed, it wasn't going to happen. When Brock went back in, there was no, oh, I don't, oh, man, what are they doing? Oh, he could get hurt. No, there was, that's what he's trying to do. It was very clear he couldn't throw. It was very clear that he was had, you know, half a limb. And he just went about and tried to do what he could do to help his team out. The hometown kid that I've talked about here for the last, you know, this whole run of his, but for the last 6 years, I was telling Sean yesterday, you know, it was 366 days ago that Jordan Hamm from our team was up at the Shrine Game in Las Vegas. And at that point, hey, he's too small. He's too this. He's too that. He can't play. He can't do this. Can't do that. And sometimes you come into stories in this business. We're going to drop part two of the Terrell Suggs documentary tomorrow. And it's really good. Jordy got Ray Lewis. I mean, it's really, really good. And when you have stories that have so much to them and so many different layers, and this is just a different story for Brock. A year ago, 4 years ago, couldn't find a college. Nobody wanted him. Too small, injured, coming off of a season where he had a cactus in his throwing hand and got injured in a paintball war and so on and so forth, and had mono and, you know, all the stuff that happened. And to where it is now, it's really one of the better stories I've ever seen. And for us here in the Valley, I think all of us here in the Valley, unless you're just one of those that doesn't like sports, or you don't like, you're jealous of people that have success, or you're saying my kid's better, whatever it might be. If you're one of those people, that's a you problem. I'm probably not the right show for you to watch. Probably not. My content's probably not for you because it's not all about you. So I was just really, really amazed with the grace that was shown by that family yesterday. You know, I talked with Sean Purdy afterwards, and it was very heartfelt. He was just done texting with Brock when we sat down outside by their pool, and we had a nice visit.
Just your emotions.
We're proud of him. You know, this game doesn't define who he is. And unfortunately, he was injured. And the Niners have nothing to... I mean, it's sad to lose. Nobody likes to lose. But those guys fought so hard. And I'm so proud of that organization. I'm so proud of his teammates. And I know he... Man, he wishes he was out there. So, you know, it's disheartening to go out that way. And we just live on to fight another day.
366 days ago, you're in Las Vegas. Well, Brock was in Las Vegas. I believe you're in Las Vegas at the Shrine Game.
Right.
Can you even process the last 366 days, Sean? Encapsulate what it's been like for you and your family?
Well, all we ever wanted was an opportunity. And so to sit back and watch him work hard at it and to keep the noise out, you know, that's all he's ever done. And to see, to be right here at the cusp of the Super Bowl is just amazing. So when he wasn't the starter, heck, it gave us all a little bit of a break. You know, so then it, you know, went from 0 to 60 real fast. And but the experience is something we'll never forget. The fans, the teammate interaction that he's had, it's just a blessing.
Today, as this game is unfolding, the injury happens, team goes down. There was very little outwardly about Brock. It was still about the 49ers, which I found to be really interesting today, that you as a family and you in your circle,
absolutely,
it's about the team. Even in your son being injured today was about the team.
Absolutely, because he's not where he is without those guys. And so we're just wanting them to get to the Super Bowl at all costs. We don't care who gets them there. And I know that's how Brock feels as well. So, you know, we were devastated to see Josh get hurt. Josh has been so wonderful to Brock in supporting him. And so we're just like, all right, Josh, it's your turn. You know, let's get us to Glendale. And unfortunately, that injury prevented that from happening.
You're sitting there as his father watching him try to gut it out. What were your emotions like after he came back in and just seeing the...
I just texted him and I said, you're such a warrior. You know, I know you'll do anything for your teammates and your organization. Brock is just so loyal. He'll do anything for them. And I'm proud of that. He's been that way anywhere he's been. And he knows in with his faith in the Lord that all things are possible.
So now the game is set. And the Kansas City-Cincinnati game, Patrick Mahomes could retire today. And he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer with everything that he's been able to do so far. I think having the Kelce brothers in the Super Bowl makes it great. Jason against Travis. So there's some, you know, obviously Andy Reid being a former head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles and now the Kansas City Chiefs. Another great angle. Seth Joyner, good friend. Seth is someone I'll have on the show here in the next couple of weeks. He's been doing a lot of stuff around the Eagles. Great dude. Charles Barkley, of course, from Philadelphia, has all the Philly people on his side. Is it going to be open house? I can only imagine what that will be like. So, you know, the Brock Purdy injury, he'll get examined today. It could be really bad. It could be 6 months. If there's a tear, it could be 6 weeks and just some rehab if it's a sprain. So not going to go anywhere beyond that. Other things over the weekend, Dylan Raiola. So Eric Sorensen put out on his social, Eric from our team, that Dylan Raiola transferring from Chandler High to Pinnacle. And that has caused shockwaves throughout the high school world in our state. We do pro college high school here. We're not afraid to talk high school. And Raiola was the number one quarterback in the nation last year. He went to Chandler High. Chandler ended up losing three games. Raiola did not have the season that many expected. Raiola's decided to take him elsewhere. I will be interested to see how the we should be immediately eligible goes if they move. I believe the magic number is 50 miles. If they move 50 miles and it's a change of address, I believe that's probably going to be the way that they go. I could be wrong on that. That was my initial thought. Suns play tonight. Matt Ishbia is going to be introduced as the Suns owner a week from Wednesday. New chapter, new era. And that's pretty much what's going on. John Wilner is on the other side. The Wilner Hotline, that is next. John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. As always, Wilner Hotline, you can follow him on his social, Wilner Hotline. He leads John Canzano down paths on the Canzano, Wilner Canzano podcast that you can check out every week. All right. So there's a meeting here, actually, that I want to start with. What is going on in Tempe with the conference today?
So the presidents are getting together with athletic directors and the conference executives, you know, Commissioner George Klikoff and others. It's technically a quarterly meeting. The presidents are supposed to get together, you know, every few months. They had done this meeting in March at the Pac-12 tournament. They decided to move it up to kind of space it out a little bit because they always get together in May as well. And they're going to talk about a lot of huge issues. Mostly, I mean, media rights is obviously the big thing for all the fans. Expansion. Now they got this whole Comcast saga they've got to deal with. Plus the routine stuff like what's going on with the NCAA. What do Pac-12 financials look like? So a little bit of routine and a lot of important things. I don't think there will be any final decisions on media rights or expansion. We're still a little ways from there.
Okay, if you're sitting in that room, what questions would you ask them today? What would be your leading question for John Wilner? Because you are as plugged in as anybody nationally on this conference. What would it be? Or would it be a statement? Would it be like, you guys, why do you keep crapping the bed on things? I don't know what it might be, John. but John Wilner is allowed access. John Wilner is allowed to address all of them. What would John Wilner ask or say?
Well, you could pick any number of topics, right? But I would probably focus on media rights. To me, here's the question on this, right? The Pac-12 is the only conference that still has its media rights available for any of those TV networks to bid on. All the other Power Five conferences are locked up for the rest of the decade. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't seem like there should be a rush, right, to get a deal done. I disagree. I think they need to move with some urgency. I think waiting only creates the chance of some kind of unknown factor intervening and potentially devastating the conference, whether it's the Big Ten changing its mind, something happening with the Big 12. You have no idea. But that's what realignment is all about. It is the complete unknown rearing its head up to put your conference into an existential crisis. In my opinion, the question would be, what is the reason to delay? Let's take our best offer now, get security, and move on.
Would you tilt your head to the side and look at the representatives of Oregon and Washington and say, are you guys going anywhere?
Well, the thing about the Big Ten is their door's not open right now for Oregon and Washington, right? I mean, the Big Ten doesn't even have a commissioner to lead more expansion, right? They got to find a commissioner. The Big Ten's TV partners don't have the money, hundreds of millions of dollars to shell out to add more teams. And the Big Ten presidents aren't interested in expanding. There's no logical reason to think Oregon and Washington are going anywhere, that the four corner schools are going to the Big 12 because they're not going to get transformative money. All of a sudden, they're not going to be $10, $15 million richer going in the Big 12. There's no logical reason to do anything, but realignment has a big piece of illogic to it. So I don't think the Pac-12 is going to get more money by waiting and dragging this thing out with ESPN and Amazon and whoever else. Just get it done. Get your best offer, get it done, and move on.
If you're in that room today, are you looking directly at Ray Anderson saying, why are you still here? How is it possible you're still here?
Well, no, I would be looking at Michael Crow and saying, you know, what kind of department are you running? All right. I mean, I can't believe Ray Anderson is still in charge. I couldn't believe they hung on to Herm Edwards as long as they did. I can't believe Michael Crow supported Larry Scott as long as there's a lot of things I can't believe about how Michael Crow runs his business. Mm. But hey, the bottom line is, you know, I think ASU made a good hire with Dillingham. I don't know the extent to which Anderson was involved in that. I know that they're still waiting for the NCAA stuff and it could be pretty severe. But, you know, Michael Crow does things differently. He's done a great job for ASU, the university. There's no question. His work on behalf of the Pac-12 for athletics has not been as stellar.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Follow him on his socials, Wilner Hotline. Of course, we carry his content at sports360az.com into 2 years and coming up on three before you know it. How about that? The leadership of the president of Kliavkov. What do you make out of it so far? It's not quite a year yet, John, but the leadership of him.
I would say the jury is still out, right? I mean, you can make the case he should have known about USC and UCLA. You could also argue he had to take USC at its word when they said they weren't going anywhere. Certainly, final judgment will be rendered with this media rights deal and whether it can be a good amount for the both in terms of the cash and the visibility, right? They can't, they got to have games on major networks and on broadcast television, expansion, all these things still to play out. He has certainly been hit with an immense amount of issues outside of his control, right? 3 weeks onto the job, Texas and Oklahoma leave for the SEC and the Pac-12 has to decide if it's expanding. You got name, image, likeness. Then you got USC and UCLA. Now you got the Comcast saga. He took over, I like to say, he took over a football team that was like 2-10, right? The previous coach had run the thing into the ground in a lot of ways. And he's had to rebuild the culture, some of the infrastructure, recruiting. I mean, everything about it, he's had to rebuild, but the jury's still out. So we'll see how he does. I think he needs more sense of urgency with this media rights deal.
So it's kind of like Jed Fish taking over for Kevin Sumlin. Sumlin had ran the thing so far off the cliff and Jed's just trying to build it.
It is. Except then, then the USC thing happened. And so all of a sudden there's this existential crisis and the commissioner doesn't have a transfer portal to rebuild his roster in a matter of 2 months.
Letter of intent day this week, any big surprises on the horizon? Obviously you have a quarterback in Rashada who's sitting out there with ties to ASU. We'll see anything on your end that you're looking towards on the recruiting side this week.
Well, that certainly is one of the biggest stories for whether ASU can land Jaden Rashada, who's the best. I mean, he is committed. He signed with Florida, but he got released from his letter of intent. So the best available quarterback from the Pac-12 footprint could end up at ASU, and it would, you know, add to the stockpile of quarterbacks that Pac-12 has got on its rosters. He took a visit to TCU over the weekend, and I get the sense from some recruiting guys that that was, you know, going to be real decisive. And so we may know in the next 24, 48 hours. I'm not sure what his timeline to decide is, but it seems like it's TCU and ASU. So, you know, it'll be a huge get for Dillingham, you know, just really kind of put on the marquee for his early tenure.
And before I get you out of here, so Bobby Hurley's team goes up to Washington as a disastrous weekend. And are we looking at just U of A and UCLA for the tournament this year, John? We're sitting here right now, first part of February, right around this week. What do you think?
I think ASU's in big trouble. You know, they have got a huge, colossal game with Oregon this weekend, right? Because not only for position in the conference standings, but also if those two teams end up competing for an at-large bid, an ASU sweep over the Ducks would be huge. Part of ASU's problem, too, is that finish is tough, right? They finish with the Arizona and the LA schools on the road.
Right.
Four straight losses, not good. The non-conference schedule is a little bit of an issue for them. I think ASU and Colorado are fading to the wrong side of the bubble. To me, the best chance at this point for the Pac-12 to get a third team in might be USC. USC just beat UCLA. They have got some only one bad loss, and they beat Auburn. And those non-conference wins can really help you. So I would say ASU and Utah would be the top contenders. And then you got Colorado and and Oregon. USC, Oregon, and Utah would be the top. And then you got ASU and Colorado kind of fading a little bit.
I'll let you go off that. Good stuff as always. Have a great week. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
There's John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. Follow him on the social channels that he is part of. And, of course, with us at Sports360AZ.com and our content on Bally Sports Television. We carry some of John's content there as well on our Football AZ show. We're back with more after this timeout.
Isn't that what friendship is? That we face the unknown together?
Let's go, Golden Girls. Come with me.
Make a pass.
This movie, when you first read the script, what went through your mind?
I took to it because it's obviously older women who are friends, but having to do with sports, because I'm a huge sports fan, and women get overlooked as the powerhouse that they are in the audience for sports. They're a huge audience. And I just liked the fact that it wasn't about women, you know, looking for a date or who are they going to marry next or even worried about their children. They needed to get into the Super Bowl because they loved football and Tom Brady.
Well, I have a 20 in my strap-on.
That's a fanny pack.
If you wear it like this, it's a strap-on.
Wow.
Well, Brad, you never sort of show up and do some lines. Let me just clarify. You don't, those who just show up and do some lines don't work very often. Making films is always hard work. It's really hard work. It's never, it should look easy, but it's always hard. This in particular was a lot of fun because it was all of us. Some of us had been friends a long time. Some of us are sort of newly friends. But being all together was fabulous, but it was also hard work. There's a lot of physicality in it for us, and we are older, some of us older than others. I'm the baby. Not that I'm proud of that, but yes, I am. It was challenging and also a lot of laughter.
It looked like it. I put that I was going to talk to you on my social media, and I have hundreds of questions, hundreds of them. A lot of them are about the Flying Nun, but many of them are the best decisions that she's made that allowed her to have so much success. I know we only have about a minute and a half left, but can you speak to that a little bit because people are curious?
My decisions, well, you know what? Decisions really just come from sort of the gut, but I honestly have never been an actor that's just been besieged with offers. You know, I would be lucky, even in the highest part of my career, if one script would come along a year that I would go, okay, it's the butterflies start in your stomach and your head and your chest, and you think, this is it. I belong here. And that's rare, and you wait for it, and you just know it when you've got it in your hands.
That's great. That's great. It's a pleasure to visit with you. Thanks for the time. Enjoyed the movie.
Thank you. Thank you.